my take. That is what I learned. I hope folks get a chance to listen to the podcast that It Did Happen Here, podcast.com. Give it your own listen. Let us know what you think. Scott, appreciate you. Multnomah County Library, support your county library, right? Scott, always a pleasure, my friend. Good night.
Thanks for listening to this episode of It Did Happen Here. The transcripts, show notes with links, full credits, and other relevant content can be found at our website, itdidhappenherepodcast.com. Interviews in this episode were conducted by Annette Newell, Selena Flores, Claire Risciotto, Ender Black, and Aaron Yankee. And your hosts were Mike Crenshaw and Selena Flores. This podcast is produced by Selena, Mike, and me, Aaron Yankee. Thanks to the participants for sharing their stories. Thanks also to Lindsay Runyon and Enrique Rivera of the Multnomah County Library, the Institute for Anarchist Studies, PM Press, the Marla Davis Fund, KBOO Community Radio, and to the rest of our production team, Icky A., Julie Perini, and Mo Baustern. And thank you for listening.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor Portland Folk Music Society concerts. The spring series concludes on Saturday, June 11th with Hank Kramer, an old-fashioned folk singer from the American West. Hank Kramer can play and sing more than 1,000 modern and traditional songs. The Portland Folk Music Concerts are at the Reedwood Friends Church on Southeast Steel Street in Portland. For information, go to kboo.fm and click on Community Events.
The following program is a special encore rebroadcast for these unique pandemic times. Dates, times, and events mentioned in the following program have already occurred and are no longer relevant. Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Portland.
You're listening. We will now be listening to a TEDx talk by David Archambault Sr. called Indian School Whisperer. After that, we'll hear the late, great Charlie Hill on his appearance on The Richard Pryor Show, and an episode of your favorite superhero and mine, Super Indian. Stay tuned.
Will you all please stand up? Thank you. Please repeat after me now. Chante, washte, nape, cheyuzabi. Sit down. What we just did is we greet each other in our Lakota language. We said we greet with a handshake and a good heart. I'd like to visit with you guys today about a far-fetched idea I got, Indian School Whisperer. But before I do, I have to share with you some information about my Lakota people. It helps you get relevance to what I'm going to talk about. This is one of our wisdom keepers. He's long gone now. He was a Lakota patriot. But he says it is time we Indians to start to tell the world what we know about God and nature. And with all respect to him and all honor that I have to give to the people that, such as Matthew and others, I'll just try to do the best I can from what I learned, okay? And make to help you understand what I'm going to talk about. A long, long time ago, our people, as they moved around, they noticed that there was something moving in everything that they saw. They termed this daku shkanshkan. Daku meaning what or something, shkanshkan meaning movement. And as time went on, they came to believe that this movement, this energy, this force that they saw in everything, that it was wakan. Wakan meaning in our people is sacred, holy, mysterious. So it was daku wakan. Whatever is out there, whatever is moving, wherever they saw, whatever is mysterious and holy. And after a while, they just came to term and they just said, wakantanka. Wakantanka means the Great Spirit. God is in everything that they saw. And as such, theoretically, if you have that disposition, then you better give respect to everything that you see, huh? Philosophically, we believe that we had this power, we call it Nagi. The spirit was in around our middle abdomen section here, and it radiated out around the body. Like an aura. We believe we got that from our parents and their parents and their parents before them. As such, and one of the things that we believed about this was that this nahi, that this life and this energy that we got, that one of the things we say is that we just could not lie and steal, because we'd bring disgrace to those people who gave us this life and force. So if you read anything about us, you'll see that it says that we were very honest and that we were very spiritual people. As far as learning, we believe that this force was in our children, and it was especially powerful and prevalent in our children. So we called our children Wakanyeja. That's what our term. Wakanyeja means that word means sacred. They were sacred little beings, and as such, we allowed our children to move and grow and learn and be as they wanted to, with that force inside of them guiding them. I want to show you something very interesting. I think this is a Sitting Bull and Maria Montessori. Maria Montessori was just an absolute genius. And I want to, what was interesting is that she believed that there was a guiding force in every child. She called it the spiritual embryo. And what is so significant about Maria Montessori is that she develop an education system that allowed the child and that force to grow and be what it wanted to be. This is what she says about this force. She says, this embryo, it is the spirit of the child that can determine the course of human progress and lead it to a higher form of civilization. Our people, such as Sitting Bull, saw eye to eye with her on these points. She believed in a spiritual embryo, huh? We believed in a Nari, same, same. She believed that you could build great civilizations with these children and this force that would move. And I tell you, that's the same thing as we, same thing. Now, I just want to say, this is about this, I want to start talking about this whisper with you, getting to this, to get what I want to talk about. This is, of course, the movie that was made the term whisperer popular. Robert Redford made this, and it kind of gets therapy and whispering synonymous now. This is Monty Roberts and Shy Boy. It was one of the New York Times bestsellers. This is another, he shows the power of whispering in this book. But what he learned was that you don't have to treat a horse violently. You don't have to break it. He learned that if you communicate and you understand that, and he demonstrates this in his workshops, that in 30 minutes you can get on a wild horse that has never been ridden. He called that joining up. That's what he termed it. He talks about in his book about a big tough cowboy who comes up and he's signing books like this, and he comes up and this big tough cowboy is trembling, has tears in his eyes, and he says, I just realized that I've been treating my family abusively and violently, just as I treat my horses, and he vowed not to do it again. That's the therapy, the whispering part of it. This is Philip White Man Jr. He and his wife, Lynette Two Bulls, they do workshops about our Indian knowledge of horses. And if you ever went to these workshops, I'll tell you, it will just simply astound you what we knew and what they convey about the, you know, the society of horses, the nature of horses. But I'll just say, from our point of view, what he wants to get across is that for our people was to become one with the spirit of the horse. Again, relating to it, understanding it. Now we got National Geographic has a program on TV featuring Cesar Millan and Dog Whisperer, and he works with problem dogs and their frustrated and puzzled owners. These are our dogs. This one up here, that's the red one. That's we call her Lucille Ball. This one over here, that's the German Shepherd one. That's Pontius Pilate, and the one in the middle, that's Average Joe. He showed up at our house one day and never left. The missus got annoyed with him. She, after a couple days, she loaded him up, took him into town, which was 6 miles away, went about her business. She got back and there was Average Joe looking at her. He's been with us 10 years now. But I just want to say, these guys are real friendly dogs. They are free to move. Their spirit is cool. They're like this. If I tied them up, if I penned them up, their personalities would change significantly, because their spirit wants to be, their nature is to be a good, friendly companion to a human being. Huh? Now, what I've just done now is I've just briefly touched on whispering as it is done for with horses and dogs, and there's some therapy that goes along with this. But I want to move on to this, to the Indian school whisper thing that I want to share with you. First, just to let you know that our people, we have a problem, an Indian schooling problem. And I want to share with you information about that, and then I just want to tell you what I think is the problem. But this cartoon here pretty much characterizes the problem that we have. On one hand, you got to have a good education, right? Everybody says that, everybody. But on the other hand, what happens if you're a Native American? And since its inception, the schooling process up to now, and I would say that into the future, that has been demeaning and degrading to our people. That's the fact of the matter. And our people kind of shun away from it. You know, they've never have engaged it in a good way, never. Why is that? I think it's ignorance that has gone on. Check this out. Look at these kids. I don't know if you can see it very well, but this is Carlisle 1800s. Imagine these people, these young children coming in a nice warm environment and suddenly thrown in there. Look at these guys, are traumatized. They're stoic, I mean, their face is just blank. Hair's cut and all that kind of stuff. What happened to them was fear was put in them. They were being handled by people who had a, you know, let's save the child and kill the Indian type of thinking. You had then they were made to feel inferior. They're being spoken to in English and they didn't understand what was going on. So for their ineptness, they just felt bad. So there's two operating primal emotions that's going on with these children at the time, fear and shame. And anybody working from that decision-making basis, it's not gonna go good. What you do, your decision-making is not good. The behavior is not good. I think that those primal emotions have been handed down in the schooling system. And let me say that I there's a lot of educators here, huh? And I just say that I have a lot of good friends, and I have administrator friends, all that kind of stuff, but I just say that I know everybody's trying to help out. Okay, I just know that they're trying their best, but I just don't think the system is right. But anyway, getting back to this, these two primal fears come in and just have not been very very good for us. So I ask myself, is there something that we can do? Is there some kind of schooling that can produce this a therapy, so to speak, something for our soul that will help us to undo this? Because presently this type of education is just not getting it, in all seriousness. So I asked, is there any schools that can do this? Is there any school that can nurture our nahi, the spiritual embryo? Well, there is. And they're operating, they're all over the United States. Not a whole bunch, there's not a lot of them, but they are in the United States in about every state of the union. They're around the world, and they're called schools that have self-directed learning, okay? And there you have not so much teachers, but you have facilitators and guides that guide this force that's inside somebody, okay? Now I'm familiar with, the ones I'm familiar with, there's different types of ones that are around, but the one I'm familiar with is a Montessori. These children here have selected what they want to do. They've chosen what they want to do, and they're working at it. And I just want to say one of the tenets of Montessori is that is what is going on. When a child selects and goes about all day picking and they have the freedom to choose whatever they want to do, they are actually working on constructing themselves. The decisions that they're making and what they're doing is self-development. And another thing about this is that these guys like coming to school every day. They want to go to school. Why? Because their spiritual embryo, their nahi is being, there's something there good for them that's going on. This is a high school environment. This is called at the project-based learning. Doug Thomas, he runs Ed Visions, and there's 30 such schools in Minnesota, chapters, charter schools. And this is what he says, this is the future of education. And God, I hope he's right. You know, look at these guys are working on what they want to work on. They're not stuffed in little classrooms, and they're not being stuffed with curriculum that is irrelevant to them. These people are working on what they want. In other words, they're working on what they're going to become. Pretty cool stuff. These types of schools, they don't have attendance problems and they don't have bullying problems. You just can't say that about the other schools. You just can't say that about the conventional school that we have. These are a different type, self-directed learning. Students direct their own learning. I said, kids can't do that. They don't know how to learn like that, but you'd be surprised. Take faith in that spiritual embryo and that force that's in them, and you will see that they'll blossom. Okay. The process, the regular school systems are teacher-directed programs. By that I mean a teacher gets up in a classroom, in an environment, and she tells these students, or he tells these students, what to do, when to do it, and how to do it for 13 years. And the big knock on these schools is that when you graduate, if you make it through, if you can make it through, it diminishes that spirit that you got, plus the creativity and individuality has been lessened. I dream of the day. Martin Luther King dreamed, huh? I dream of the day when our children, our Native American children, are not forced to learn standards and contents that don't mean very much to them, and neglects the most important thing, neglects their spiritual embryo. I dream of the day when our Native American children are not tested, compared to others. I dream of the day when someone will listen to the wisdom of Albert Einstein, who said, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will think itself as stupid for the rest of its life. Finally, I dream of the day when our Native American children will enjoy a schooling process, schools that will whisper to them so that they can become contributing members to society. Their inner force inside them will grow into a beautiful thing that will be able to express their talents and skills in a good way. Hechetuelo. I said I'm finished. Pilame, thank you.
Yeah. We'll be right back. just having a mirage here on the desert, thought I saw TV cameras in front of me. I'd like to introduce now a new talent on the show, a man that I met that gave me my name, Lahunje, means black spirit. He's an Indian brother, Iroquois Nation, Mr. Charlie Hill. Please welcome me.
Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? I usually have problems doing my act, you know, because I know a lot of you white people never seen an Indian do stand-up comedy before, you know. Like, for so long, you probably thought that Indians never had a sense of humor, you know. We never thought you were too funny either. See some people back there putting their chairs in a circle. My name is Charlie Hill, Sagoli. I'm Oneida. I'm from Wisconsin. It's part of your Iroquois Nation. My people are from Wisconsin. We used to be from New York. We had a little real estate problem. I came out here, Los Angeles, a few years ago. I don't drink, so no, don't drink. Fire water to Indians, that's just like kryptonite. Here, drink this, sign this, move here. You know what I mean? Indians. You know, people come up to me now, too, and they say, can you speak Indian? And there are like over 300 different tribes. You know, can you speak Indian? It's like saying, hey, can you speak Caucasian? But that's the name they give us, Indians. That's Indians was the name Christopher Columbus gave us, which is incorrect. He named us Indians because he thought he was in India, you know. I'm sure glad he wasn't looking for turkey. It changed a lot of things. Columbus discovered America. They taught me that when I was a kid. Columbus discovered Indians, you know. That was my education. You see, like black people, Indians were driven to all white schools, you see. Except the black people got the buses, the Indians were just driven. I went to Custer Memorial Junior High, you know. And, tell me about, you know, a lot of things I couldn't relate to, you know. Like the pilgrims, they weren't my forefathers, you know, yes. Pilgrims came to this land 400 years ago as illegal aliens. You know, we used to call them whitebacks. You know, they started unloading the boats, building houses, you know, on the East Coast. First thing we asked, you guys gonna stay tonight? Then I just burn you up when people come over and they never leave. Yeah, we'll leave after Thanksgiving, you know. Yeah. People celebrate that every year, Thanksgiving. You have a lot of holidays. This is Indians country. There's no Indian holidays. There's Thanksgiving, Columbus Day, and everything. Oh, no, there's one holiday we do celebrate with white people. It's Halloween. Every year we dress up like white people, you see. And we go door to door and we get anything we want, you know? Trick or treaty. It's a good crowd, yeah. It's nice doing a TV shot. Maybe a couple more I'll be able to get in the movie someday. And maybe change some of the movie cliches, you know? You see every day in the movies where the settlers come in, gets the Indian loaded and wants his resources, you know? Say, engine, which way does this road go? Road stay, you go. You don't understand. Someday we want to live together and love one another, like brothers and sisters. We cannot love the white eyes. It is painful to kiss forked tongue. I just have a dream that someday I will get into the movies, right? And then I will win an Academy Award, then I'll refuse it because of the mistreatment of Marlon Brando. Thank you.
Super India.
Super Indian. Big Buck Serenade. At the Leaning Oak Bingo Hall, Hubert Logan picks up a discarded flyer.
Tonight only Big Bucks. Here? He's a public television superstar! Hola!
Yes, it's another episode of Super Indian. General Bear holds back a frenzied throng of Big Buck fans.
I can't see, Mr. Logan! Flashbulbs burning my eyes!
Oh, who's this sweet little old gal?
Well, you're not Indian, but I'm your biggest fan!
Big Bucks, careful! Elders sometimes bite. Hey, Hubert! Hey. Do you like my Secret Service look?
General Bear, just like Agent K and Men in Black and it.
What's your name, sir?
I'm Hubert Logan. This is my grandmother, Flora Logan.
Well, then, you are pretty as a flower.
Okay.
I mean your grandma, not you, boy.
Oh.
My personal bodyguard, Vito, can escort this handsome woman to my tour bus. Vito, put her in the lounge. I want a private audience.
General Bear, did you see the way Big Bucks looked at my grandma?
Hubert, some guys like older women.
Gah, not like that, General Bear.
My canine senses tingle with dread at the thought of a Big Bucks concert. Grrr.
General Bear, the OG Bucks might try to steal Grandma's medicine. Let's suit up and make sure nothing bad happens.
Hey, can I keep these shades?
Meanwhile, outside the tribal complex, Big Bucks speaks in hushed tones into his cell phone.
Wampum. The medicine woman is penned up. I'm fixing to mesmerize the tribe. I'll call when it's done.
Vito, help me up to back this truck.
The preceding program was produced at KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. More audio can be found online at kboo.fm.